stirring that ground. It's supposed to be a fertile ground, a ready ground, a ground that the seed, because the seed has got all the power already, so it's just what it goes into. Don't be cement. Right? Don't be, you know, hard. Soften that heart of yours. Allow the Holy Spirit to soften the heart. Allow him to soften your mind. Ask him to open your mind up to what he wants to reveal to you. So God, we just humbly ask that you would speak through your word to us. That there would bring, it would bring such change in us, that it would bring delight in us, that there would be fruit that would come from this word. Thank you for the anointing on Pastor Ruth, that you would bless her, that there would be a power released through her into this place, that when she speaks the words, that it would bring freedom to us, that it would bring joy and revelation and peace to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Am I on?
Check out her t-shirt. It says, "Still wonderful." And she's wearing it today because it celebrates 4 years ago today. She had the opportunity to write a song with Johnny Swim, and it included things about Romero in it, and it's called Still Wonderful. And it's a testimony, and if you have not heard it, you can go online and ask, just put in Still Wonderful by Johnny Swim, and the song will come up, and you can hear. And her voice is actually on that at the end. And so I just think sometimes we need to celebrate all the things that God has done amongst us. That's pretty amazing to be chosen during COVID to write a song with somebody that lives in Texas. Anyway.
It actually, I think I was rejoicing this morning over it because I feel like most people don't know this, but there has been like over and above testimony of people coming and saying, man, that has met me and encouraged me in my grief. That's like helped, like you, the words of that song, like what God did, it stirred me into believing. I even had a lady say that she actually encountered Jesus in the midst of it. And I just thought, God, you did that all for her. Like, might it be that it testifies in her life that she came to Jesus, and I do. It's just a good day. God does so many really cool things, so look for it.
Are you ready for the word? This morning's message is called The Spirit, and I want you to know something. The worship team did not know what I was preaching on. And when Becca did prayer, she did not know what I was speaking on or what scriptures I was going to use, and they kind of covered some of it, so you'll see that. So let's just jump right in, okay? So we all know that there's three in one God, right? You all know that. You all believe that, correct? The three in one God. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and then there's God the Holy Spirit. And each one of them have very distinct roles. And we talk a lot about all that Jesus has done for you, correct? You know all the things. We have the cross here representing what he did for us. And God the Father and his role, it generates lots of conversations about Papa God. He is my Papa. And what do you actually know about the work of the Holy Spirit? You know, what do you actually understand his role and how he moves on the earth and how he wants to move in you? God wants you. He wants you to know who the Spirit is, and he wants you to have a real relationship with him. And so we're going to begin with a foundation that, to me, I have to set because of Sozo Ministry and having had to deal with this before. I want you to know that God the Spirit is a person. He is a person. He is alive and moving and accomplishing his role in the Godhead. And the person of the Holy Spirit and his work is central in the Bible. Like, you can find it from the beginning to the end. And he wants to work in your lives. And so this morning, through the word, I want you to discover all the ways that the Spirit would like to move through you. Does that sound good? And so there's this rule among theologians, which I do not profess to be, but there's this rule. It's called the rule of first mention. Ever heard of it? No? So the rule of first mention goes like this. The first place that a concept, a thought shows up in the scripture, that's your place to jump off from. That it gives you the clearest, most concise picture of it. And so I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, where are you? And he shows up in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And I want you to look at that. It says, the earth was without form and was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so that phrase, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, that is supposed to create a sense of expectation. And it, like something's about to happen. And if you want to get excited about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you, I want you to listen to this revelation about what that phrase, the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the water, actually means. It literally means like brooding over something, like how a chicken or a fowl lays on an egg and prepares that for what it's going to, for its breaking out and becoming a chicken. Anyway, sorry. But this is the part that just so struck me. The Holy Spirit was working on the dead, unfavorable elements. That void, that dark place. And then he began combining and arranging and ripening them into a state that would be exactly the right arena for the new creation. And as you read that verse and you follow in Genesis chapter 1 through, you see step by step how the work of the Holy Spirit and what he accomplished. And those changes came one after another after another. So I want you, as you consider the work of the Holy Spirit at creation, I want you to think what he might do when he broods over you. Imagine him taking all those places of void and darkness within you and bringing together all the unfavorable elements, combining, rearranging, ripening you until you are transformed step by step into the very image of God. You see, he sees potential and possibility in you. A lot of times we can't even see it in ourselves, and yet the Spirit of God broods over us. And if you actually consider his work at creation, it's astounding. There was nothing there. There was nothing there. And he's brooding over it, and he's preparing it and getting it ready. And look what happened. And there was day, and there was night, and there was animals, and there was people, and there was plants, and there was sky, and there was water, and it just goes on and on. Imagine him working in you, with you on projects. Think of the limitlessness and the possibilities that could occur. That first mention shows how important the Spirit of God is, how important he is. It shows that his mighty power to shift and change and transform things. And I want you to know something, he can transform you. He can. Excuse me. So the Old Testament reveals understanding of all the credible ways that the Holy Spirit works in ordinary people. And everyone I mention is somebody just like you. They weren't the elite. They were just ordinary people. And God desires for you to long for a deepening relationship with his Spirit. There is something that happens when we come into such relationship with the Spirit that we can flow as one. You saw it kind of showing up this morning in the prophetic words that came out of their mouths. Heather and I prayed last night, and we prayed that God would speak to every one of your needs, that he would somehow stir up and speak to you. And God wants you to understand what happens when a person says yes. So I want to start with a simple one, and it's in the story of Joseph. And I'm going to put scripture up for you, but I'm not going to read them all. I'm going to give you pieces of them. But they're going to be up there. Just, I'm making you aware of how I'm going to flow this morning. Anyway, did you know that when the Holy Spirit works in us, that people can become aware of the Spirit of God working in us? They can see it with their eyes. They can hear the wisdom and the words of the Spirit speaking through us. I think I want you to look at this one in Genesis 41, 38 to 40. It says, the officials and Pharaoh, all of them, when they had the problem and the famine was coming and all of this had happened, they said, can we find anyone else like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Can we find anyone like this? And it says, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly there's no one wiser as you are. And so he gives him the throne to work them. So these people around him, they were aware that this was not an ordinary man speaking to them. And there's time when the Spirit of the living God wants to come upon you, and they're not even going to be aware that you're... They're going to think, where did that come from? How did that possibly come out of their mouth? Because the Spirit in you can reveal things and show things, and he can speak through you. And so God is wanting to do that. Make yourself in partnership with him. Say, Holy Spirit, I want you today to move in me. I said, Father, I just ask that the Holy Spirit would speak through me today. Your words, that it would be your words. And so we see the Spirit of God enabling Joseph to perceive things that were hidden from others. And the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to reveal the deep things of God to you. There is somebody, it came out this morning, but there's mysteries that are available to be unlocked. And he's wanting you guys to unlock them. And he wants you with the partnership of the Holy Spirit. He wants to reveal what he's doing. So I love 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. It's what God would want to do. He says, it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through what? His Spirit. He's through his Spirit, he wants to reveal things to you. So the Holy Spirit has amazing insight and wonder beyond your imagination. Allow him to expand your abilities. Are you hungry for him moving in you yet? That expanding, yeah. I love this one. When God came to Moses and he told him to build the tabernacle, he gave him detailed instructions. They were, if you read it, like, I don't understand how Moses ever kept track of all the details, because there was inches and feet, and there was with this and this thread, and it was ornate, and it was this, and it went, the building of the tabernacle, the building of the Holy of Holies, all the pieces in it. And so you look at it and you think, how would that have been even possible? Well, I'll tell you how it's possible. Look with me at Exodus 35, starting in verse 3. And there's this man, Bezaleel, I don't know how you say his name, but I'm telling you, it says he was filled with the Spirit of God, okay? In 1 second, in one moment of time, the Spirit of God came in him. And I want you to see what the Holy Spirit working in you might do. It says, God filled him with he filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in the cutting jewels for settings, in carving of wood, to work in all manner. And then if you skip down to verse 35, it says, he did the work of an engraver and a designer and a tapestry maker. It says, in blue and purple and scarlet thread and fine linen, and of the weaver and those who do every work and those who design artistic works. So in that one moment of time, in this man, God poured in him the ability to do all that the temple took. He had to put all the details in. They had to be like they were supposed to be. Exactly. The combining of colors, do you know how much embroidery was on the curtains? It's crazy. Read the story. Read how many things it speaks about that. And you know what this man got to do? He got to build the actual container where the Spirit of God was going to dwell. That's what he got to do. He put that together and it went behind in the Holy of Holies. And you know what else he did? One of the things he was supposed to do is make cherubs that went above the ark, above the resting place of God. And they were supposed to face each other and their wingspan was huge. Cherubs are not little things flying around. They're huge, mighty warriors. If you want to know what a cherub is, look it up in the Bible and read all that the Bible says about the cherubs. They stand in the very presence of God. And so, how might the Spirit of God want to move in you to create a masterpiece? Didn't we hear that this morning already? What new frontier might be discovered when we work with the Holy Spirit? Are you aware of his leading and directing you? There's purpose in every leading, in every direction. You don't have wisdom, ask of God. He will pour through the Holy Spirit everything that you need. There is ingenious ideas waiting for you to partner with the Holy Spirit. Am I making you hungry now for more of him? Well, let's move on then. Maybe there's better. Look at Othniel. He was Caleb's little brother. Caleb's the one that said, yes, let's go into the promised land. This is the little brother. And you find his story in Judges 3:10. And it says that the Spirit of God came upon him and he defeated the enemy. He defeated. His hand prevailed over the enemy. So I have a question for you. How many of you have been asking and crying out for help for our nation? How many of you have been asking God to move in our nation? Right. Which one of you might God fill with his Spirit to bring about our deliverance? Which one of you? Might it be you? And you? Or you? Or you? Or you? Or you? Might it? He was just an ordinary man. He was known as Caleb's brother. And yet God filled him and he delivered the nation. Could you believe that the Spirit of God could come upon you and that you would be the answer that we're all praying for? No takers? We got one in the front row, yes. Is it possible God is waiting on someone like you to say yes? This is something to consider. He picked ordinary people. I don't know about you, but I'm just an ordinary person. And God wants to move through me. Why? Because he loves me. It's interesting, there's a man named Samson. You've all heard of Samson, right? The strong man with the long hair. Yeah. It's interesting, in Judges 14:6, he encounters a lion. And it says, with his bare hands, he tears the lion apart. I don't know how many of you would like to take a lion by the mouth and tear it apart, but personally, I'd run. And anyway... the Spirit of God, it says the Spirit of God came upon Samson. The result was great strength, and he brought about deliverance for the Israelite people. But in Judges 14 and 15, again it comes upon him, and he's bound with new ropes, and he breaks them like it was flax. And then he finds a fresh jawbone of a donkey, and he picks it up and he goes to battle against the enemy, and he kills 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. That's not normal. That's unusual. That only takes the Spirit of the living God in people. Anyone looking for this anointing? I wondered. It's really fascinating the ways in which the Holy Spirit worked in different individuals and what he accomplished when the Spirit was able to move through those people. Samson was not what I would call a real spiritual man. Read his story. Yeah, and yet God took this man. It's fascinating. He was dedicated to the Lord by his parents, okay? Grab hold of that truth. He was dedicated to the Lord by his parents. He was not what I'd call spiritual, but God used him, probably because of his parents, filled him with a strength that was unheard of. He actually collapsed a whole Colosseum. His last thing he did was pull down the walls, and the whole thing, and more died in that than died previously. And it was all the enemy, what the enemy had was doing to the Israelite people, and God fell upon him and used him. In 1 Samuel, we come across the story of Kings. It's an interesting thing. It says the Spirit of God came upon Saul. And you know what happened? He became a different man. That's what the scripture says. He became a different man. I was like, whoa, how does that, what does that look? I mean, can you explain that to me? He became a different man. The unique role that the Spirit of God fulfilled in the working in people's life is amazing. If you start in Genesis and go through, there's one after another after another. And there's transformation that comes from the Holy Spirit working in their lives. It's interesting to note. I want you to think about King David. David, the shepherd boy. 17, 16, whatever. He's anointed. A prophet pours oil over his head. It says he's anointed. I want you to look, because it says in 1 Samuel 16, 13, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. All the other ones, it says it rested upon him, or it came upon him, or it used him, or whatever. But in David, it says that from that day forward, it was upon him. It was after that, that the Spirit had come upon him, that he, as a young boy, faced Goliath with no problem. He said, hey, I'm going to take off your head. You think you're going to do this, but all the enemies, they're going to be destroyed. David, after the anointing, stepped into that. And he had such a close working relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you look at Psalms 51, 11, it says this. This is David's cry from his very heart. He says, do not cast me away from your presence. He said, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He wanted to live in such a way that God would never take the Holy Spirit from him, because he saw how much the Holy Spirit in his life enabled him to do what God had called him to do. Yeah. God used so many men to pronounce his message to the people. Jehaziel was a prophet, and he's the one that came to the king Jehoshaphat. I don't know if you remember his story, but they're the ones that sent the worship team out first into battle. That's this story. And he comes to him in 2 Chronicles, and it says, 20 verse 14, it says, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And then if you read down further, it says, this is what he said to the king. Thus says the Lord. He prophesied to him. He says, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. And I want you to know something. The battle is never yours. Don't pick it up. Don't take on a battle that God has not given you to take on, because it is his battle. You give it to him and you allow him to work in whatever way he wants to. He said, tomorrow you're going to go out. You need to fight in a position. Position yourself. Then he said, I want you to stand still and see my salvation. Sometimes we cannot stand still and wait for God. We want him to move so much that we get four steps ahead of him, and we're trying to do things in our own strength instead of allowing him to do it. And I encourage you to read that story. and see how God might want to work in your situation. So time forbids me to go from person to person through the Old Testament. I couldn't. There was Moses and Joshua and Gideon and Zechariah and Ezekiel. Oh, my word. The Spirit of God came upon Ezekiel and lifted him up. Once he picked him up by his hair. Read the story. If you don't believe me, it's there. He kept lifting him up. What does that mean? He lifted him up. Picked him up off the ground. He had encounters in the heavenlies. Ezekiel had the Spirit of God on him in a powerful way. But then comes onto the scene a prophet with the most wonderful, incredible news. It's in the prophet of Joel. And I want you to look at this. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It says that it came to pass afterwards, it shall come to pass afterwards, that I, God is speaking, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Are you all flesh? Just checking. Are you? Yeah, you there? On your sons and your daughters. There's hope for your children. On your sons and your daughters. And they shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. See, God's not done with people when they get older. He has things for them. Your young men shall see visions. You young men, you in the church, God wants to give you visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. See, God was preparing his people. Hey, I have something coming. Something so good. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And it's not just going to come on an ordinary man here and an ordinary man there. It's going to come upon all mankind that are longing for God to move. And it's not just on men. It's on women too. Amen. He was encouraging us that a day was coming that had not been before. That his Spirit was coming for a time upon all men and women and staying. Everything was about to shift and change. This announcement was for all people. And God wanted his people to experience his gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what would facilitate that happening? What could possibly bring that about? What would change history and people's lives on a daily basis? The coming of Jesus. The coming of Jesus would. Listen to John the Baptist. This is important in John, in Mark chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. John the Baptist makes this pronouncement. There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. Now, look at verse 8. I indeed baptized you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. More preparation for people to understand the master plan of God being put into effect. Do you see that from the beginning of time, he already had a plan? This is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing, because people cannot do it alone. They cannot make it alone. They cannot live a life holy alone. They cannot do miracles and signs and wonders alone. They need the Holy Spirit. And so I've got a plan, and this is what's going to happen. So the Gospels tell you the story of Jesus. And all through the books, you see the baptism of Jesus in water in the four Gospels. And what happens is when he comes up out of the water, yeah, the heavens parted and the Spirit descended him. It says in some of the books, in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice, and it came and it rested upon him. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You see, Jesus, when he came to earth, he laid aside the God part of himself. And he became human like you and I. And he needed the Holy Spirit the same as we need the Holy Spirit. And I love the first ministry he does. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, he goes into his home church. He goes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He goes up and he picks up one of the scrolls, and he picks up the scroll of Isaiah. And he says this, and this is quoted from Isaiah in Luke chapter 4. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach a gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Thank you, God, to heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. He's speaking liberty over captives. And you don't have to be in jail to be a captive. Trust me. He set me at liberty many times. The recovery of sight to the blind. He set at liberty those who are oppressed. Anybody oppressed? He wants to set you free. And he announced to the people in this prophetic word declared through Isaiah the prophet 700 years before Jesus came and spoke it. 700 years. Don't tell me you've been waiting too long. And he says, this is being fulfilled in your presence today. Then Jesus tells us even more wonderful news in John chapter 7. He says, when I go back to heaven, when I'm finished here and I go back, it's going to be a really great day, because when I go, then I'm going to send my spirit, and then he's going to be with you and he's not going to leave you. And so it says on this day in John chapter 7, he says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out this, is anyone thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow what? Rivers of living water. And this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing, isn't it interesting? Those believing would receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Again and again he says to him, hey, it's better that I go away. It's just me, and I can just be here, and then I can be over here. But when the Spirit comes, he's going to be with you all the time, wherever you are. He is never going to leave you. And so the last thing Jesus said to people before he left the earth, as he's ascending to heaven, he said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the empowerment that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. And so we find in Acts 1, 4 and 5, this is repeated. And then he says, John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from then. Not many days. It was 40 days. Not many days. He baptized him with the Holy Spirit. And if you want to see the difference in a person's life in the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon you, check out Peter's story. Look at him before the baptism of the Holy Spirit and after, and see the transformation and the power and the ability to stand before men and speak the words of God. The promise from the Father was an incredible gift that brought the needed power into our lives. And this was that fulfillment from what Joel had told us, that he was coming and he was going to baptize our sons and our daughters and all of that. So, honestly, I've barely scratched the surface of who the Holy Spirit is. It's just a small sampling, just a little bit. And Papa God, he wants you to understand that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and fills you, he does not leave. And he fills you to capacity. And he doesn't come just to accomplish one task or for one season. It's for a lifetime. He wants to come upon you for a lifetime. And that partnership of walking in connection with your God provides new abilities and new revelation and new purposes fulfilled. That's what he wants to do. And this was the plan of God from the very beginning, from the very onset. You were never meant to do it on your own. God made provision for you. He said, oh, I see the need. And this is how I'm going to fulfill it. And the Spirit fills you and makes you able. And the Word of God says that in God, in him, you are complete. Complete means lacking nothing. You're not short of what you should be. You have what is needed. if you have the Holy Spirit within you, you have everything you need for facing whatever you're facing. You have unlimited wisdom. You have unlimited power. You have insight. You have creative ideas. You have, it's there. And we do this. We put our heads and we hold it back from what God wants to do. Allow the Holy Spirit to enter your imagination. Allow the Holy Spirit to stir up your heart about what he might do through you. Seriously, the one to save America could be in this room. Seriously. And so I got you homework. Aren't you excited? Homework. No cheering. So I was like, okay, I barely touched on who the Holy Spirit is. I basically just showed you the Old Testament, pieces of it, just little pieces of it. And did you know, I have a sheet with 50 things the Holy Spirit does in your life. Did you know he does at least 50 things in your life? And so I've prepared it, and it's going to be down front so that anybody that would like it, 50 takes a lot, so I'm sorry. It's kind of front and back. So I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. Allow the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I would be remiss if I didn't say, if you've never experienced the Holy Spirit coming into your life, I get to pray for you this morning. If you don't understand what you're missing, it's a lot. Yeah. The Holy Spirit transformed my life. I was 16 years old when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And even then, I did not even have a clue what he wanted to do. I was just ignorant. And yet, in these latter years, God has opened my eyes and made me understand that I cannot do life without the Holy Spirit. And neither can you. And so I want to leave the altar open this morning that we might pray for you. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, today's your day. It's a good day. Who's calling me? That's what he said. He said, if I do not leave, the Holy Spirit cannot come. But as soon as I leave, he'll come. And the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the room shook. There was, how many were gathered in the upper room that day? 120 people were gathered in that room. And the Holy Spirit came, and there came this wind, like a mighty rushing wind. And the power of God came upon them, and incredible things happened. And out of that experience, I think like 500 people got saved in the next few hours after that. 3,000. And so God is wanting to use you. And it's not about you, it's about the Holy Spirit in you. And so would you stand? Thank you, Lord. Even if you've been filled with the Spirit and you're wanting more this morning, I just encourage you to lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, come fill me afresh. Oh, please, Holy Spirit, come and fill Ruth Marion afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Move in our midst. Brood over our lives. Ignite in us the ability to see beyond the everyday normal and look at what is possible with you. Imagine, God, just cause our imagination to be able to embrace what you might want to do through us. I ask that in this room there would be inventors, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit there would come to inventions would appear. They'd see it. They'd see it. I thank you, Lord, for books being written. Crazy, incredible, bestseller books. I thank you for that. I thank you for maps, Lord, that give revelation of who you are. I ask, Lord, for an unveiling of eyes this morning. not just for Roberta, but for all of us, that our eyes would be unveiled and that we would see the call of God upon our lives afresh and anew, that we would lay aside what we perceived him to want to do and we'd actually step into what he really wants to do. Holy Spirit, won't you come and blow upon us this morning? A fresh breath. A fresh understanding. Oh, how we need you, Lord. How much we need you. We love you, oh God. We love you. We love you. We love you. If you're here and you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to come. And I want to pray for you. Michael.
This morning. May the Lord God bless you and fill you with his Holy Spirit. May he empower you to do what you can't do alone. May he be the one that receives the glory from your life. Bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.